This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Two here on the program as we welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Joined today by Ariel Epstein out on the East Coast and apparently last segment looking for spots for their latest casino or newest casino. That's so cool, by the way, that they were all laid out of the different places. I do think that a sports book in Times Square would be too much, right? Like that seems like a really tough place to have one.
It would be really chaotic. Then they also talked about like the Bronx and Citi Field. But Stormy, the problem is Citi Field is kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So unless it's the US Open or it's a Mets season, then after that, no one really wants to go out there to Queens in the middle of like by Citi Field. And then the Bronx, yeah, it's by Yankee Stadium, but no one wants to venture through the Bronx because that's just asking for problems. Like the Bronx is asking for you to have issues and all kind. Like there's so much crime out there. Times Square, as much as it's like a crazy touristy area, it's actually very well protected. I just think that it would be a crazy scene to have a casino in Times Square. I think it's just a little too crazy.
And that was a fun call me crazy for our segment in the last block, which if you missed any of hour one of the show, remember, you can always download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you download your podcast. We get those up right away after each hour. Still to come this hour on the program, we will have VSiN market analyst Josh Applebaum join the show. He's going to give his thoughts on some of the movement we've seen in MLB today. We've got best bets at the end of the hour and looking into some of our top 10 questions and storylines headed into this NFL season as we are just officially 10 Sundays away from getting the regular season underway. But speaking of baseball and all that line movement area, we've got an 8-game slate today and a handful of lines that have been on the move. When I was looking at this card earlier, we mentioned Boston from minus 190 down to like minus 165 some places against the Reds, the Giants from minus 150 down to minus as much as 125 in some places, but consensus around minus 135. The Cardinals and Pirates, another one of those where St. Louis was a minus 130 favorite. Now it's largely a pick 'em. So any of those games specifically that were on the move that really caught your eye and maybe seemed a little fishy or questionable to you?
Yeah, I always look at a team like the Cincinnati Reds who just had a very tough series with the Yankees this week, and then they have to now, and then I forget who they played this weekend, but Chase Burns on the mound is who interests me the most, and I know I said this at the top of the last hour, but Chase Burns only in his second start, and you're seeing all this money come in, and I want to go take a look at the DraftKings splits. I'm going to pull them up and see if Boston with Garrett Crochet on the mound is a heavy side, which I assume it would be. Yeah, so 71% of bets is on the Red Sox, but 61% of handle is on the Reds. So that's just telling you that all that smart money is coming in on Chase Burns, his second start on the road going up against the Red Sox at Fenway. Would I bet Chase Burns in his first road start of his major league career? Probably not, but I call these fishy lines where you would just stay away, and I'm just going to stay away from the Boston Red Sox and Garrett Crochet if the line's going to move 10 cents against him. I just never like Stormy when a line moves 10 plus cents against an ace at home.
I was contemplating a Red Sox F5 because it was only around minus 125-ish. But if you're saying stay away and just don't mess with it, maybe
you just always see that it's like I did this. What was it last week? I think it. Oh, no. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was Paul Skeens on the mound and the line moved 20 cents against Paul Skeens in his last start. And again, I'm forgetting who they played, but I said, okay, if Paul Skeens is pitching at home and the line moves 20 cents against him, which you know the public side is going to be backing Paul Skeens, something's wrong. And Skeens had his like second or third worst start of the season, gave up 3 or 4 runs. So I just, when there's an ace at home and the line's moving against them, no interest.
Okay. And remember, everybody, so the great thing about having Ariel on with us today is she's known as the prop queen for a reason. We'll have best bets at the end of the hour where I know you do have a favorite prop for the day, but you're always giving us prop angles and K-props. If you're not already, make sure you follow at Prop Queen Sports on X. Go to thepropqueen.com. But as you went through the slate today, was there a game or two or a player or two that immediately kind of rose to the top for you when you were going through your prop boards?
Looking at Trevor Rodgers, and I know that with Dustin coming on in the last segment, he spoke about Rodgers as well. We've only seen three starts. However, Trevor Rodgers, he's a lefty getting the Rangers. And I love looking at lefty-righty splits when it comes to strikeout props. So Rodgers actually is in what I call the back-to-back. He faced the Rangers his last start, had four strikeouts in eight innings. If something doesn't happen that probably should have happened in the first matchup, I like to bank on it happening in the second matchup. So the Rangers, 14 of the 19 lefties that have faced Texas have gone over their strikeout prop. Eight of the last 10 lefties to face the Rangers went over 4.5 Ks. Trevor Rodgers missed it by one. He had four. The number didn't go down to 3.5 the second time around. It stayed at 4.5. You get plus money to the over. I like it with the Orioles going from around minus 105 to minus 112. The steam's moving in their favor. Trevor Rodgers over in plus money has good value against the Rangers team that's averaging just under 6 strikeouts a game against lefty starters.
Okay. The run total in that game, by the way, sitting at 8.5. The night game, Giants and Diamondbacks going head-to-head. San Francisco coming off a tough week, dropped 2 of 3 over the weekend to the White Sox. This after they just got swept by the Marlins. San Francisco opened around minus 150 today in Arizona. I mentioned down as low as minus 125 in some spots. You see the DraftKings overarching number around minus 136, minus 135. Run total up from eight to 8.5. So this could be a little bit of a buy low if you did want to buy in on the Giants today with Logan Webb on the hill. Anything there?
Well, I'm looking at Ryan Nelson's numbers at home, the Diamondbacks starter, and he's been great in his last 6, 7. Oh my goodness. In his last 7. So outside of his first start of the year, which was March 27th against the Cubs, he gave up 4 runs in 1 2/3. Ever since then, Ryan Nelson has not given up more than 1 run in a home game. So if you want to take maybe a Giants first 5 team total under, if you like the D-backs in the first 5, Logan Webb doesn't pitch as well on the road as he does at home. Something in the first 5 with those starting pitchers would stand out to me because Ryan Nelson has just been that good. And they're dogs at plus 132 because I think it's name and Logan Webb and the Giants. But based on the way Ryan Nelson's pitching at home, the Giants shouldn't be minus 150 plus.
In a Giants offense that be struggling, we just talked about how they've played the last 6 games or so in that series with the White Sox combined for just 5 total runs. So I really do like that Giants team total at 5 under. Let's talk about your Yankees here for a moment. I know we talked about it a little bit with Dustin earlier, but Carlos Rodon on the hill there, minus 145 road favorites in Toronto. Max Scherzer on the other side, the Blue Jays available around plus 119, plus 120. Run total at 8.5.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this because as a Yankees fan, obviously Carlos Rodon has had up until the last, 2 or 3 starts, he was pretty good. But after going 4-2 on a 6-game road trip, the Blue Jays now, they come home, 4-game series against the Yankees. This is the time to find out how legit the Jays could be because they would match their high watermark at 8 games over .500 with a win today. The Yankees, they scored 12 runs in the series finale over the A's, but I don't really care because prior to that, they were averaging 2.8 runs per game in the prior 16 games. The Yankees have struggled against the AL East, so we're going to see if the Yankees can somewhat like continue to hold this lead in the American League East. Max Scherzer making his 2nd start back from the IL. Is he washed? I mean, we're going to see with him pitching at home in Toronto. But Scherzer actually, Stormy, hasn't beaten the Yankees since 2013 when he was with the Tigers. And the Blue Jays are plus 130. I just, again, Rodon hasn't been pitching well, and I don't trust Rodon on the road, so I wouldn't be betting the Yankees today, and that's why I like Rodon's under 5.5 Ks. Yeah. He hasn't gone over it against the low K rate team yet this year. Toronto, one of the lowest strikeout rates in baseball this season. 9 of the last 10 lefties to face the Jays went under 5.5 Ks. So I would take Rodon under Ks as my favorite play of Yankees Blue Jays, but with the way the Yankees are hitting, and like I just, and the way Rodon pitches on the road, I just can't lay minus 154 with the Yankees.
Yeah, last 90 seconds here, because in the last segment, we were talking a little bit about the Tigers and kind of finding angles to buy in on them when there is an opportunity, if they hit a little bit of a lull or a cold streak. As we are like over that midway point in the season, and boy, that did come fast. Are there teams, as you kind of like take inventory of where they're at right now, that you are hoping to find a way to buy in or potentially fade once we get over the All-Star break?
Yeah, there are teams that just historically do much better at the All-Star break when it comes to like actually trying to make moves. So I always say I always love the Padres, but at 33-1, it's great value. I'm looking at the board, so I'm just speaking out loud. Yeah. The Braves were the team that I would say make the playoffs. Like, you can go and get the Atlanta Braves to make the playoffs at plus 320 right now. I absolutely love it. This team is full of veterans, just like any Astros team. They know that they can improve in the second half. Maybe they go get some pieces at the deadline. I don't trust the Mets. They have no starting pitching. The Phillies were always the team to beat in that division. But the Braves, don't forget, they were favored to win this division preseason. Plus 320 to just make the playoffs? I think it's great value.
I know you can't get those games back that they fell short of early on in the season, but maybe potential for them to reclimb that ladder in the second half. And remember, everybody, ProfitX is offering the best odds on baseball all season long. A peer-to-peer sports betting exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You can make sports picks against other groups of fans rather than the books. Best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Check it out today, and when you use the code VSIN, you earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Check out ProfitX today. Don't go anywhere. More Money Moves coming up after this.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're serious about getting ready for football season and betting with the most information possible this season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is your first real edge, and it comes out tomorrow. This guide, guys, I'm telling you, it is jam-packed with in-depth previews, all 32 teams covered. We've got season win total breakdowns, best bets from all of our trusted VSiN experts, hosts, analysts. You got player props, betting projections, everything you need to be a more informed bettor this NFL season. Kick off your year with confidence and get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bets emails, and exclusive content through the year for just $175. Your smartest NFL season bets start now at vsin.com/subscribe. Tomorrow's the day. Very excited. Kudos to Adam Burke and the whole crew who puts this massive document together on a yearly basis, everybody making their contributions to the guide. And with that, Ariel, so as of yesterday, we are now down to 10 Sundays remaining before the NFL season begins, and it's the countdown to kickoff. We are in this area of summer where we've got Major League Baseball and WNBA is really our live game options on a regular basis, and then this is the prep time for the NFL and college football to get you ready for the fall. How are you feeling so far, and are you excited that we're finally getting into the swing of things and training camps are going to be here before we know it?
Stormy, I'm pumped. It was yesterday. I was sitting on my couch. The Yankees played yesterday at 1 p.m. Eastern. At like 7, when I got back from dinner with my family, I said, oh my gosh, what am I going to watch? I'm bored. Like, if it was Sunday and football season, I would be amped that there was a game coming on later tonight. It was also kind of chilly here in New York last week. Sweatshirt and sweatpants vibes. And it's supposed to be summer, but that's besides the point. I was like, this feels like fall. I want to go home and watch football and eat chicken wings and pizza. I'm ready. Let's go.
Me, I'm ready too. And fortunately, though, in this downtime, like I said, we can use this for prep and we can kind of get the lay of the land for all of these teams, what our expectations are for them, see where we want to hang up our money for the next however many months, as tough as it is. But sometimes those futures wagers can be extremely profitable if you have the right mindset on them. So in honor of the 10-week countdown, we have put together our top 10 storylines, most of them very bettable here, and our thought process and questions that we have entering the NFL season. And these are in no particular order, but we're going to go from the bottom up. And number 10 on this list that you and I kind of have put together are our five questions that we had each. Who will win the Browns QB1 battle? We know on the odds board right now, Joe Flacco is your +110 favorite, followed by Kenny Pickett at 2-1, Dylan Gabriel at 5-1, and Shedeur Sanders at 7-1. And I am genuinely curious how this battle is going to go. I think Joe Flacco, as the veteran in the room, somebody who had a ton of success with this organization when he was brought over for the back half of that year 2 years ago. I know last year didn't go the way that he had planned, but someone who had success in that organization, in that offense, coming back, being a veteran with all of these young guys in the room would make sense as the week one starter. But if you're listening to some of the players coming out of mandatory minicamp and the like, Kenny Pickett is getting a lot of those early reps and some people believe he could be the guy. What do you think about the QB1 battle?
Your safest bet is Joe Flacco for the first 3 to 4 weeks. Flacco always looks good out the gate. Then he goes back to being Joe Flacco after about 3 to 4 games. But at least if you get Stormy, a veteran like Flacco, it's not going to be like the team can get itself underway without any kind of distractions. If you have Deshaun Watson out there with Shedeur Sanders and Kenny Pickett then loses you the first three, like, there's too much distraction in Cleveland. Joe Flacco is the one piece that you could put under center that won't be a distraction. It'll be like stability for at least 3 to 4 weeks. Then you could see how everyone else is doing behind him and if you need to make any kind of changes. My say is Joe Flacco is going to start week one, but he will not make it the whole season.
Yeah, +110 again, that price there. And I love how you phrased that last sentence, because for the Browns specifically, the week one starter has not been the end of season starter 4 years in a row. Listen to all of these names: Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett, Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, DTR, Bailey Zappi, Flacco, Jeff Driscoll, PJ Walker, Nick Mullins, Case Keenum. That's just 4 years of quarterbacks. That is insane to me to think about. Okay, number 9 on the list. You put this one in, which I appreciate because I hope the answer is yes. Will the 49ers bounce back? They are favored to go from worst to first in the NFC West.
I absolutely love the 49ers this year. I liked them under last season. Just felt that I just felt like we were going to get some kind of regression at some point out of Brock Purdy. But now that he's signed his new multi-million-dollar extension deal, knowing that he's solidified as the quarterback, you hope that McCaffrey stays healthy at running back. Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Purcell gets another year under him. I still really like the Niners' defense. And I see Brock Purdy, now that he feels like he's the solidified quarterback, is going to bounce back this season. Everyone was so high on them last year that people probably are going to sleep on them this season. I'm not. Mm-hmm. 49ers, yeah. Bounce back.
Yep, and I'm a big fan of the defense as well. Robert Saleh being back as defensive coordinator. I think that the Bryce Huff addition is something that didn't get as much love as it probably deserves for that side. And the injury stuff that happened last year isn't something you see carrying over. They ranked second in the NFL last year for number of games missed by injured players with 226, which included a number of key players on both sides of the ball, including, of course, Christian McCaffrey, who offensively is that straw that stirs the drink for them and all of the creative stuff that Kyle Shanahan wants to do. So coming back healthy, that's huge. Number 8, how much can we trust Trevor Lawrence? And there are some people that think the Jags can make a good push in that division. What are your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence? And do you believe that he can finally have the year that people have expected him to have year after year?
Well, looking at the Jaguars last year with 4 wins, now their win total at 7.5. The books clearly think that the Jaguars will take a step up this year. And I know that their new head coach came in solely for the purpose of Trevor Lawrence being their quarterback. Stormy, I just have trust issues with Trevor Lawrence because it's now been 4 seasons that Trevor Lawrence can't get 10 wins. And we're talking about the number one pick in the NFL draft, couldn't have a 10-win season and has had horrible years. I mean, 4-13 last season, the Jaguars. Am I going to bet on them? No. But do I think that the sports books are high on them with a 7.5 win total and second best odds to win the division around 3-1? I think it's telling us that the Jaguars should have some kind of bounce back season.
I hope they do. I mean, all the talk about Trevor Lawrence when he was coming out of Clemson is this generational talent and how he could help this organization that's been struggling for so long take a step. And I know the beginning of his career with the coaching situation and all of that didn't exactly set him up for success, but maybe this is the year that we finally see that side of him that was so good in college. I want to go to a younger quarterback in Jaden Daniels. Can the Commanders and Jaden Daniels live up to this year two hype and all of the expectations within the organization? I mean, you look at the MVP odds board, Ariel, and he is behind only Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes. Plus 750 for Jaden Daniels to be a league MVP this year. That's a lot of pressure, especially with all the national games. You think this is a team that's favored to have double-digit wins again this year. What do you think? Can they live up to the hype and expectations?
They can live up to the hype. I love that they added Deebo Samuel. So now you have Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel with Jaden Daniels as his weapons. And of course, Zach Ertz, who's at least a veteran presence. It does give me a lot of Houston Texans vibes, though, because CJ Stroud had a great rookie campaign, goes to the playoffs, and then kind of he struggled last year. I had his over on his passing yards. He did not go over it. I was pretty annoyed at that. Jaden Daniels, it's kind of like when you ever watch those cooking competitions like MasterChef or Hell's Kitchen, and you win and you get the advantage in the next round. And at MasterChef, Gordon Ramsay's like, you have the advantage, but if you don't cook a good dish, then we look at you even worse because you had the advantage. That's what I'm looking at with Jaden Daniels. They added the piece of Deebo Samuel. You have two of the best receivers in the league. If Jaden Daniels doesn't produce, everyone's going to look at him and say, well, we gave you weapons. It's not as if he's like Josh Allen, who hasn't had these wide receivers to work with. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Jaden Daniels because of what happened last year, and they added pieces. So we'll see if Jaden Daniels can live up to the hype. I think they can, but if he doesn't produce, then there's going to be a harder hammer coming down on him than the applause he'll get if they do well.
Yeah, second short to just the defending Super Bowl champions in the Eagles, but the Eagles are a relatively short number in the division, minus 135, Washington plus 205 to win the NFC East. And my last one here for five of our top 10, and we'll complete the top 10 at the end of the hour here. Can Kansas City, is this the year that they will finally take a step back? They're minus 120 to win a 10th straight AFC West title. But year after year, we're always like, how many times do we come into a season, Ariel, and say, you know, this is probably the
year. It's this year, Stormy. And I think our number one of this storyline is going to tell you why.
Okay. Oh, okay. That is what we call a tease, ladies and gentlemen, because we have not gotten into the top five of our storylines and questions yet. Stick around for the end of the hour. We will have our best bets and we will finish our top five of the top 10 then. But first, Josh Applebaum joins us next, looking at the big movers on the MLB slate today.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158, alongside Ariel Epstein, Stormy Bond, and Tony with you. And if you like words like reverse line movement, steam move, or hazmat play, boy, do we have the guest for you. Josh Applebaum joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, our VSiN market analyst, of course, host of the All Systems Go podcast, and author of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook, which, by the way, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe, you get our NFL betting guide, you get a pre-order to Josh's book as well. What is going on? Josh, how are you today, buddy?
Stormy, Ariel, I'm doing great. And don't forget steam, Stormy. If we can dust off that old, you know, kind of steam across the board, kind of angle there, that would be great. By the way, you guys are crushing it. If Bill AD or the team needs to rename the show, I don't know what's up with JBT. Listen to this. Wise gals. Just one word. Wise gals. That's all you need.
Oh.
Wow. Now we're
that's pretty good.
I think that we need to work that into a segment. Brian, jot that down, add it to the list.
Yep.
I love it. I actually love it. And hey, listen, so I was looking at the text you sent us, kind of going through a couple games that you want to dive into on the MLB slate, and we will in a moment. But you can't add as an aside a hot dog eating contest line and not expect me to go there early. So what do the people need to know about the 4th of July contest that's coming up on Friday? It is personally my Christmas. So what's the word?
Me too.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be a great day. So happy 4th to everyone. I know it's a few days away here, but there is a betting opportunity here. And a lot of people might scoff at it, roll their eyes, say, what are you doing betting on the hot dog contest? Stormy and Ariel, I'm one of those weird, crazy people that bets it every single year, gets excited for it every single year. To me, it's an opportunity to just have some fun. You put a unit on it or whatever you want. Hope you cash it. Again, it's a kind of an American tradition here on Independence Day. But here's the betting angle. You guys know me. I try to stay tuned into the numbers and try to respect the market. The market won't get every move and every split right, but more often than not, they'll get it right, you know, long term. So here's what I've seen early on. One big factor here is that Joey Chestnut is back. Remember last year, if you forgot, he was banned from this contest because he committed the ultimate sin by partnering with Impossible Foods. So Nathan's does not like that. You got to get, we don't even know what meats are in hot dogs, but we know it's got to be real meat, not impossible meat. So he got in trouble, but he is now back. Now, if you're going to bet on Chestnut to win, really not much value there. It's kind of like betting Cooper Flagg to go first overall. He's minus 2,500. So really not a bettable angle. But here's what I did find for an angle here in this contest, guys. His overall, just over under, total dogs eaten, 71.5. Now, that is a pretty high number. I don't know if the three of us combined could eat 71.5 in 10 minutes. But what's notable to me is that even though everyone wants to play Chestnut parlay it to the over, again, check your state and your jurisdiction because you got to look under the novelty tab to make sure you're available to bet this. But 71.5 is juiced under minus 125. That's kind of notable to me. Why is the expensive price on the under? Anytime you get kind of a novelty one-off and the public just want to say, wake up, fire up the grill, get the jello shots going and bet Chestnut to win and over, yet the juiced up price is toward the under. I think there's a play to go under 71.5. Last two times before he missed last year, he had 62 and 63. Now, prior to that, he was ripping off low 70s every single year. But after a year off, he's a year older. We don't know what the weather is going to be like. These are the things you got to consider at Coney Island. But I like this underplay. I like him to go under that 71.5. And there is another prop. Will anyone break the record and get 76? The under is minus 275. So it's a little bit pricey. But I like kind of like a contrarian fade Chestnut play. Under 71.5, and between now and Friday, I'd love to see that line fall maybe down to 71 or 70.5.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked that number is as high as it is for him missing last year. And I feel like 2 years ago, it was in the high 60s, like 68.5, I think was the number, his last event. I get into it too. My mom thinks I'm insane. She leaves the room. My dad and I are cheering everyone on, hoping someone throws up. It's disgusting. I actually throw up every time I watch a Yankees game. So how can I not throw up watching the Yankees game tonight, Josh?
Well, you know, either Ariel, you're going to be happy or I'm going to be happy. I'm going to fade the Yankees in this spot. I like the Toronto Blue Jays in this matchup just as a straight up data driven play. Now, if we go into it, Carlos Rodon is on the bump for your Yankees. Ariel, 9-5, 2.92 ERA. He's been really good. Remember, they signed him that big deal. He kind of struggled a bit, but he's pitching really well this season. Max Scherzer, our old friend, 40-year-old Scherzer, back on the bump, making his third start for Toronto. 0-0, 5.63 ERA, so not much to write home about yet. But line movement to me is really just all toward Toronto in this one. We opened the Yankees as high as minus 155. You had Toronto around plus 135. And at our DraftKings splits at VSiN.com right now, 74% of bets are laying it with New York. So even though New York is a very popular play tonight, Yankees aren't up to minus 160, minus 170. They've actually fallen down to minus 145, minus 140. So if the majority of the betting public is playing the Yankees, why is the line dropping basically to give out the public a better price, a less or cheaper price? Tells me smart money came in here on Toronto. There's a couple systems that I like on Toronto tonight. If you're a Monday dog off a win with a line move in your favor, those teams are 15-7, 68% this year. If you look at both teams coming off a win, just take the home team. That's 59 and 34, 63%, 12% ROI. If you layer on one more angle to that one, if you're both off a win, take the home dog. That system's even better, 19 and 10 this year, 66% with over a 30% ROI. A couple other like minor angles I like here with Toronto, divisional dog, built-in familiarity, tight games, typically benefits the plus money team. And then some correlative betting, dog high total. 8.5. Again, more runs scored. I think that kind of benefits a Toronto play here with more variance. And then if you look at Toronto in this spot, they're hitting 269 at home, fourth best in baseball. They're actually hitting 272 against lefties. That's second best in baseball. So this is one of the most heavily bet games of the night. Everyone's playing Yankees, but line is falling toward Toronto. Ariel, either you'll be happy or I'll be happy. I'm going to take the plus money with Toronto here.
VSiN betting analyst Josh Applebaum joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the All Systems Go podcast. You can follow him on X as well, at @Josh_insights. Another game that Ariel and I were talking about a little bit earlier was this Cardinals-Pirates game. St. Louis opened around like minus 130, and now you're seeing them as a slight dog in a virtual pick'em game now. What should that tell us as bettors?
Yeah, Stormy, you lined this thing up perfectly. I mean, we opened this game with, you know, Eric Fetty expected to go here for the Cardinals, 3-7, 4.11 ERA. Andrew Heaney, 3-7, 4.48 ERA. So pretty two pitchers who have very similar stats, basically. But you really nailed the most important fact here. This line is really moving toward the Pittsburgh Pirates. Minus 130 St. Louis down to a pick'em. On the flip side, you've seen Pittsburgh go from some plus money, plus 110, down to a pick'em or even hop the fence. Minus 113 become a favorite. So this really tells me, Stormy, you got a lot of money coming in here on Pittsburgh. It's either a reverse line move where basically you're looking at majority tickets here on St. Louis, 65% bets, but the line goes to Pittsburgh. Or you can kind of look at a dog to fave line move. So whatever you want to call it, really, it's pretty clear here that this line is steaming toward Pittsburgh. They're in a really good contrarian spot out where you're at, Stormy. They're only getting 33% of money line bets at Circa, but nearly half the money. A couple system matches, that Monday home team with a line move, 63% this year, 6% ROI. Both off the win, take the home team, 63%, 12% ROI. And what's gotten into the Pirates? I mean, they swept the Mets. I don't know if that says more about how much, you know, the Mets are struggling or how good maybe Pittsburgh's playing right now, but their bats are hot. If you're playing them tonight, you're really hoping that they stay hot and get to Fetty. They're hitting 303 over their last 10 games. They've scored nine or more runs in all three of their last three games. Also, you look at Andrew Heaney. He's been better at home than on the road. On the road, not too good. ERA of nearly six. At home, 2.95 ERA. So feels like the Cardinals are the better team. Take it with St. Louis, but I got to respect this move, and I'm gonna back this move and take Pittsburgh around a pick 'em play here.
Josh, a starting pitcher who actually has pitched extremely well, underratedly at home this year, has been Ryan Nelson, who has not allowed more than one run in a home start since March. I've seen a lot of movement against the Giants today, and Logan Webb, what are you seeing?
Yeah, same thing, Ariel. I'm going to take a shot on Arizona here. And Arizona, I would argue, is one of the most frustrating teams to bet on. I had them, I think it was Friday night. They're up 7-3. Maybe it was Friday or Saturday. Bullpen blows it. They lose in extras. Don't look now, Miami Marlins. What are they, 7-1 their last eight? Two straight sweeps, so something's got into Miami. But anyway, maybe this is a spot where Arizona, instead of laying a minus number and losing, maybe they surprise you as a plus money dog. They're kind of in a different spot here where the pressure is kind of more on San Francisco. San Francisco, with Logan Webb on the bump, 7-5, 2.52 ERA, they're the clear, you know, better team, quote unquote. But what's the market telling us? We had San Fran open this game around minus 150. We're now seeing San Fran down to minus 135. So that's about a 15-cent move away from the Giants and toward the D-backs here. And really, you're looking at kind of a contrarian play on Arizona. They're only getting 45% of bets at DraftKings, around 43% of bets at Circa. Both off a loss, take that team with a line move. That would also match on Arizona, 62%, 6% ROI this year. Divisional dog angle with the built-in familiarity, leveling the playing field. You also get Arizona. I mean, their bats have, they got to get to Webb here, but they are hitting 11th best at home, 7th best against righties. San Fran is bottom of the barrel against righties and on the road. And you really hit the nail on the head, Ariel. We need Nelson to pitch well. At home, 2.25 ERA. On the road, 5.34. I know Webb is great too. I like to back him when I can, but he's been worse on the road, 3.75 ERA, 1.52 at home. So again, plus money dogs, are quite a few seem to be barking today. Let's see if they can do it on the field. I'll take the snakes and the plus money here.
We shall see. Good luck with your bets, Josh. Thank you for the insight. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Happy 4th of July.
Back at ya. And I do have a little thought I need to give you on Joey Chestnut after the break. But as we have Josh on and we talk about all the betting splits and everything, remember VSiN.com/subscribe. You get access to all of it each and every day. No article limit. The bet splits, the best bets, all of it. VSiN.com/subscribe.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So real quickly, as we wrap things up on this Monday edition of Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Ariel Epstein with you. I so appreciate Josh Applebaum joining the program and bringing up the 4th of July hot dog eating contest, because this will be covered at length on the program throughout the course of the week. Ariel and I, both hot dog eating contest aficionados, we are all in on it. But I gotta say, like, we're not giving our guy Joey Jaws Chestnut the credit that he deserves. And while, yes, he took last year off of the official outdoor Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, he still pounded down 83 hot dogs in controlled conditions with Kobayashi in that Netflix special that they did, okay? So I don't know fully what the weather conditions are going to be come this week, but the last couple that he did on the stage, there were conditions that were hindering him, like knee surgery, being on crutches, and a protester that he had to strangle, like an unforeseen weather delay that impacted things. So if we're getting optimal conditions, like sub 85 degrees on Coney Island, like I believe the weather report calls for, I don't think there is any reason our boy can't go over the 71.5 dogs. I am hoping more people continue to bet the under so I can get a better number, but I'm all in on Joey Jaws Chestnut doing work come Friday, Ariel.
Is this an emotional bet, Stormy?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen, sometimes my head and my heart can be aligned. Let me live my dreams. Okay?
But hey, I understand how the sharp side would be the under. I have faded it before, and I am nervous every time. It's like fading Paulski and strikeout prop. Do you want to do it? No. Is it sometimes the right side? Sure. Is it ever really the right side? Probably not.
I just really think that Joey Jaws is coming back with a vengeance, okay? They held him out last year. The disrespect, he won't stand for it, and he's going to be ready to go. So we'll see. We'll preview it further. We'll give you
a little, I like that narrative.
Right? He... Yeah. I know, I said this last week on the show. I know that nobody else can come for him in the competition, right? But it's not about who he's competing against, because his biggest competitor
is himself. It's the over-under. It's 100%. Can he beat the record?
100%.
Exactly. It's like me on the Peloton. I don't really care who else is in the class with me. Can I beat my record?
Let's go. Okay. On that note, time for our best bets of the day, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And if you haven't heard about the trifecta we've got going on with GBank, First Bet, and us here at VSiN, here's what you need to know. Open up a GBank Visa signature card. Your first 90 days from account opening, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the trifecta, where you get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. And then VSiN throws in a VSiN Pro subscription, $200 value, faux free. $99. Head over to vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank for more information. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. It does not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, Ariel, what is the best bet of the day from the prop queen? What do you have?
Yankees lefty Carlos Rodon under 5.5 Ks. I got this at +110 early this morning. It's now like -120. Rodon has faced Arizona, San Diego, and the Mets. These are three teams that are low K rate teams. Rodon had 5 in all of those. All those starts were at home. Now Rodon's on the road against the team, the Blue Jays, that strikes out less than like all those teams. Lefties, 12 of the 19 to face the Jays went under their K-prop, averaging 3.9 strikeouts a game. In fact, 9 of the last 10 lefties to face the Jays went under 5.5 strikeouts. Rodon on the road, taking the under 5.5 Ks. I got it in plus money, but I would still take it at -120, Stormy.
Okay, I know you're going to hate my bet because I'm laying -140, but I feel very confident in it, so I'm willing to pay the juice. I'm going with the Phillies on the first 5 run line, just basically a bet on Zach Wheeler and the Phillies offense at home versus on the road. So Wheeler hasn't given up more than a single run in 4 starts this month, gone at least 5 innings in each, and aside from getting touched up against Atlanta on March 29th, hasn't given up more than 2 since mid-April. I love looking at the baseball Savant pages and seeing the colors between blue and red. Blue is bad, red is good, and we are deep red all over the board. Even with the ERA, the expected ERA, the expected batting average against, K rate, all of that stuff lights up great for Zach Wheeler. Plus, you are facing a Padres offense that is bottom 10 on the road this season, and the Phillies bats at home, top 5 OPS in baseball at home, top 6 in MLB scoring runs in the first 5 innings against Matt Waldron, making his season debut, missed the first 3 months of the season with a strained oblique. So backing the Phillies on the first 5 on the run line, laying -140. I know it's gross, but I feel comfortable
with that. Hey, I can't knock you for backing Wheeler at home.
And like the Phillies, a lot of these F5 props, the Phillies, it just like last week, we made a lot of money on the Phillies F5. So we're just going to keep it rolling here a little bit. Let's close out the show 1 minute each real quickly on the final top five of our top 10 NFL storylines going into the year. This, of course, in honor of us being 10 Sundays out of the NFL season getting underway. We finished with, is this the year the Chiefs finally take a step back? We think yes, but the answer to that will be at the end of this list. Let's continue to creep up. Can the number one pick, Cam Ward, get the Titans over 5.5 wins, Ariel? It's a big question and very well warranted.
I like that Cam Ward's been silent. We haven't heard much from the Titans. They say, we're going to just be silent but deadly. But they have 3 wins last year. Their total's 5.5. I like that it's gone up by 2.5 wins. So I would say I'd take a shot at the over.
I think so, too. And I mentioned this last week. I can think off the top of my head of like 4 games where it was coming down to the wire, game in the balance, and Will Levis just did something stupid that lost them the game.
Yeah.
He still had 4 wins last year. So, yes, I think over 5.5 is very in play. Will the Bengals get Trey Hendrickson's deal figured out before week 1? This saga has gone on and on. They signed their offensive guys, but don't sign the best player on a defense that was abysmal last year. Can they get this thing figured out before they get started?
Yes, they will. There is only one hope for this Bengals defense, and his name is Trey Hendrickson. They have no choice, or else they're going to have to put up 50 plus points a game, which is why Joe Burrow is currently the favorite to lead the league in passing yards, Stormy.
Fewest regular season wins this year on the board. The Browns are the favorite at 4-1, but who will be the worst team in the NFL this season? Truly, who do you think it is?
Ooh, I want to know, who do you think it's going to be?
I think that the Saints are going to be flaming hot garbage. So that would be my first pick, but they do play in the NFC South, so they've got some wins that could be built in there. But I am not a believer in New Orleans. How about you?
Oh, I know. That's a good one. I'll still go with the Raiders.
Oh, really? Come on. You don't think Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly and Ashton
No, I
Gentry?
Do like Pete Carroll. I mean, is it bad to say the Browns? Like,
no, it's is that too fruit, public? It's low-hanging fruit, but it's like entirely plausible. It's not going to be a great season for Cleveland, but when is it ever? Then we'll go. We already talked about Aaron Rodgers, but I think a very natural question being, will Aaron Rodgers keep this Tomlin over 500 streak alive? Of course, we got the Jalen Ramsey news earlier this morning as well. So can they do it? I think they get over 8.5. I just think that this is a thing because it's a thing, and Tomlin teams always find a way. And I quite frankly don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be that bad. Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think so.
I can't bet against it. It's never happened. So I'll say that until proven otherwise, the Pittsburgh Steelers will be at least a 500 team. I am just worried about Aaron Rodgers' passing yards prop season long, because if you look at when he has to play the Bills and the Ravens back-to-back weeks, I am very curious if, I think that's week 14-ish, if Aaron Rodgers can get past that point.
Mm-hmm. And then with our number one, here we are. And I was impressed with you for putting Josh Allen in this conversation, because this was a big question I had. But with your Ravens backing, you put, will Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson be in this season's Super Bowl? Can they can one of them finally get there, Ariel?
I say Josh Allen does. I know that it's going against my Ravens, and I love Lamar Jackson. I just know that they're going to get to the playoffs again, have an amazing regular season, and break my heart. The Bills, it's finally time. They need to get over this hump. Josh Allen's been incredible. He's the MVP of the league for a reason. The Bills' defense has gotten better. I think that they need another piece on offense, but maybe they go out and grab somebody by a deadline and get Josh Allen another receiver. But this young receiving core has been fun to watch. I think the Bills make it to the Super Bowl.
We are in a 3-way tie at the top of the board for who wins the Super Bowl in 2025-26. The Bills and Ravens among that 3-way tie, plus 650 with the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. And Will, I mean, a good warranted question, as we mentioned earlier, about the Kansas City Chiefs. Is this the year they finally take a step back? Every year they are in the playoffs. Every year they are winning the AFC West. Every year they are finding themselves in an AFC championship or a Super Bowl. It is crazy. But could one of these stud MVP caliber quarterbacks finally knock them off of the hill when it matters. I hope so. And like, I know that that's annoying. We all are annoyed with the Chiefs if we're not Chiefs fan. We know it. But like, it has to happen at some point, right? Why can't this be the year?
No, I agree with you.
Come on. But I'm not bitter at all about the Kansas City Chiefs. On that note, thanks everybody for hanging out with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Stick around though. Prop Points is coming up after this. Good luck with your bets.